Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, October 28th, 2025, 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Matt Morgan's also in this morning. And again, just want to read the letter that was laid on us last night at City Council by Mayor Collins, October 28th, 2025. Attention, David Thompson, Auditor of the State. Dear Mr. Thompson, due to inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30th, 2025, the inaccuracies begin being the result of an ongoing failure to properly complete the very important process of reconciliation. The true and accurate bank-to-book balances remains uncertain. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. As a result, the City of Marion would like to formally request a fiscal caution analysis and projection. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Please feel free to contact us if I can be of any further assistance to you in this matter. Sincerely welcome, Bill Collins, Mayor of the City of Marion. This could go three different ways. It could go fiscal caution, it could go fiscal watch, or it could go fiscal emergency. And according to Jason, we are already at fiscal watch. Now, two things about this letter I want to attack for conversation purposes. Okay, the inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30th, 2025. Is that the first time these inaccuracies would have shown up?
I'm not for sure what that means.
First line,
I don't understand what financial inaccuracies they're referring to.
Did these problems exist prior to September 30th, 2025?
Oh, yeah.
Were they known about prior by this administration? Because he wrote the letter prior to September 30th, 2025.
I don't know how someone can claim to not know about them.
Okay, here's a bigger problem. Last line. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. Do we know what funds have deficit balances?
We, as in us in this room, no, because one of the us's in this room cannot get information.
Well, I mean, is this pay for employees? Is this things that have been spent?
I can point at one thing that goes to the budget director, which has apparently no responsibility, but has taken in 2024 $4 million from our long-term funds to cover some of the deficits that were realized through past budgeting.
So they've known that there were deficits before.
Yes, and that this has no responsibility budget director did that. And if you look at where our long-term investments were at in December of 23 was at nearly $17 million. Fast forward to most recent update in March of 25, those funds have dwindled down to $6 million.
So would you guess that $6 million could not cover these deficits?
Yes, and that's what is concerning about what's level of financial distress we would be placed in.
Okay, now here's an honest question. The budget director handles the budget.
I don't know. I have no idea what they do.
But let's say they do.
They are not doing what we were sold that they will do.
Okay, they handle the budget. They make sure the budget is in good shape. How could they not know until September 30th that several funds appear to have deficit balances? Not one, several, by Mayor Collins' own statement.
Back in, this isn't I told you so or anything, like, or taking credit for doing something. Back in 2020 audit showed significant line items being negative numbers. And so then I required, as a finance chair, for all appropriation to have balances so we could see if they're spending beyond what was appropriated. And that has been the norm for at least 4 years. So we are aware that these line items and funds are going negative, but yet we still push the paper to push them through.
You know, okay, Mayor Kellogg, Mayor Schertzer, the people there prior to Mayor Collins, I'm sure they might have liked a budget director. Maybe they would have liked a grant writer.
Mayor did want a budget director, and we shot that down. And that's something that I regret, because the reason I did not want the mayor for Schertzer to have a budget director is because of the individual. That was wrong of me.
Oh, but based on, I'm sure they would have liked some. I'm sure they would have liked to have thrown a party for Marion for $10,000. I'm sure they would have liked to create.
Well, we threw a retirement party for Schertzer.
Was it $10,000?
Two. I don't know.
City money.
That I don't know either. Yeah.
But I'm sure they would have liked. I'm sure they would have liked to expanded transportation to nighttime. Mm-hmm. So why didn't they do it? Why couldn't they get council to appropriate that money? This mayor has been able to do it.
To transit, the Schertzer administration understood that you had to work within the grant. This council or the current administration, Collins, didn't appropriate any more money for transit. I don't know how they did that. And that's still a question that's hanging out there for 2 years now.
Well, there are two things I want to make sure we discuss away from this, and then we'll open up the phone lines again. We had a lot of conversation about a pothole downtown in the city parking lot. Now, this people might be asking, since we spent so much time on this yesterday, this did not come up last night, but I believe it's the parking lot next to the food market, was it not, downtown?
Yeah, I believe that's the community market. Community market, but it's... Is it community market?
Center Street Market.
Yeah, Center Street Market. Community markets in Fair Park.
Yes.
Or used to be.
This is a private parking lot.
Yes.
Apparently, somebody said to the downtown Marion manager, we need to get these potholes fixed, and the person who owns this has no interest in fixing these potholes. So, something happened. The potholes were fixed by the city. The person who requested this thanked the city for doing this. How does that happen?
I don't know how it happens, but it shouldn't happen based on the information within that post. The city should not be going on to private property fixing stuff. And there are talks or discussions saying it was a safety hazard. Well, everyone has due process. So, like, if my grass is 6 inches tall or taller, I get a little pink sign that says cut your grass within X amount of days, and if you don't, the city's going to come in and do it. Was that pothole deemed an emergency? Did they get 10 to 12 days to fix the pothole? I don't know.
Was this funds, I assume, fixed this? Was this a misappropriation of funds?
I believe it was an inappropriate use of city labor and resources.
Is that legal?
No.
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 So in a normal situation.
So if everything plays out that, let's say that the city took it upon themselves to do the good deed, which it's
nice,
feel good thing to do, and if that's all it is just a feel good thing to fix a pothole for the safety of the kids that are out there trick or treating or whatever was going on. In the end, the state auditor's office will have a finding for recovery, and whoever approved that most likely will have to pay that bill personally themselves.
Now, I mean, I think we can pretty assuredly say council did not approve this.
No, well, depending on how far removed you want to be, council approved the budget, and within the city's departments, the streets or whoever does the blacktop patching, they have a line item that has supplies, I'm sure, and it says you can get hot patch to fix potholes. So, in a sense, we did approve it, but we did not approve that act.
So, who do you believe ordered this?
I have no idea.
Who would have had the power to order it?
Reading into the post, there's a downtown individual, the downtown manager, made a phone call. What I hope did not happen, but I think may have happened, this individual called Greg or someone down at the streets department and said, hey, we got these potholes. Could you help us out? And being nice people, yeah, we can help you out, not knowing the full picture ramifications of this is public funds on a private property, and they just went and fixed it. I think that's what happened, because I can't imagine anyone, like we got a safety director, Rob Cowell, he's a 30-year employee of the city, and he really understands the funding and how what appropriate uses are. So if and he was on vacation, so if it would have went through him, I'm sure he would have put a little bit of brakes on that.
How is the staff in the city right now?
How is the
staff? Yeah, the directors around town.
I don't talk to anybody.
No.
I do know that a couple retired.
A couple retired.
Or left, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say who they are?
No, because I really don't know, and it's a strange circumstance. They just decided to leave.
By strange circumstance, you mean what?
There was... Usually, I think that if someone with a few years, at least a couple decades of service combined between these two individuals, that you would at least get them a cake.
And they are no longer with the city?
No.
And have their positions been filled?
I don't know either. I don't know. I probably have to email the law director to get permission to ask somebody if these people are still here or if their positions have been filled. I don't know. I'm not sure how that protocol works now.
So knowing all these financial issues, what's your best guess on what happened there?
I don't have a guess. I got a theory, but I don't have a guess.
Well, what's the theory?
I'm not
what's
giving,
the theory?
I'm not giving my theory.
You're not
out.
Giving your theory?
No
theory on this one?
Not on this one. No,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, well, one more I want to touch here, and then we'll have a broader conversation, and we'll open up the phone lines if anybody has a question, and Matt can get in here. 740-383-9944. A few weeks ago, because this has been mentioned on the program, you said you made some comments via telephone about another city councilman, Sean Barr. You did.
Oh, God.
Now, you did.
I know I did.
And
I stand by him.
Okay, now, first of all, what
want
were
me to
the
double down today?
No, to what were the comments? Because we've got to clear this up. What were the comments?
What do we got to clear up?
Why you said them. So we need to know what the comments were first for people who might not have been listening that day. And then what were you talking about?
So you do want me to double down on this?
No, I want to help clear this. I want to clear the air.
So, yes, I did say that Sean Barr struggles with the truth.
And, yeah, I think you called him some other things, but...
I did? I don't remember. I just...
Yeah. Do you remember what it was exactly, Matt? You were here that day.
No, I didn't use any cuss words.
I was here, was I?
Was it? I think it was a Friday. Pretty sure it was.
Are you making stuff up?
Okay, if that's what it was, that's what it was.
I mean,
he struggles with the truth. Okay. Let's
I
go
may have
that.
Called him a liar.
Yeah, I mean, I remember
okay,
that.
Okay, liar.
Okay. It was, yeah.
Okay.
And I stand by that.
So that, why? Why is he a liar?
I don't know.
Why does he have a problem
there's
with the
some
truth?
Some people that struggle with the truth and some that don't.
But
and then
do you
there's some people that, when others speak the truth, they want to silence them.
Okay, but what has he lied about? What are the inaccuracies with him?
Okay, so in my situation... February of this year, and it goes back. Everything comes back to December 9th. It's so freaking strange. But back in December, I learned that a street, I can't even remember the name of the street, by the railroad tracks was going to be closed. And I knew that was a heavily used little drop off to get around trains that are blocking the railroad crossing, and I spoke with the neighborhood group. It's the Martin Luther King neighborhood group, and spoke with them, and they were really interested in this section of street to not be closed. And so Sean is the chair of the Streets and Sewers Committee, and that's the committee that was actually discussing closing this street. And I tried to get Sean to place on the agenda Martin Luther King group to come up and present about closing this street and their grievances why they don't want it to be closed. Well, the first time he said he would put it on the agenda, it didn't happen. I said, why isn't this on the agenda? Oh, I forgot. And then he made a comment which was odd. It wasn't nothing nefarious. Which, why would you say that if you just forgot? The next cycle of committee meetings come, I remind him, you're going to put this on. And he emailed the clerk and asked to put it on. Still didn't get put on. Didn't get any explanation then. And took three attempts, and then finally the neighborhood group just came up on their own. So is that directly lying to me? I think it is, because it goes back to that December 9th thing to withhold and keep information from me, and it was purely political too, because I'm in a primary at this point with Ralph Smith, and anything that would put me in good favor with the ward couldn't happen. So I believe they used that group against me. And there's some emails, too, back and forth with this group saying that I didn't do my job to get this on the committee, which, in fact, I have emails and texts to Sean saying, why isn't this getting on the agenda?
So that is what that's all about.
That's an example, sure.
Do you have another?
I had not involving me, but the Mike Neff left, and so then Mike is the president pro tem, so that left the vacancy, and Sean's advocating for pro tem. Never, he didn't call me, which doesn't matter. That part doesn't bother me. What bothers me is he went to Aaron Rollins and Ayers Ratliff and told two different stories about if Rollins wanted that position or not. And told Ayers that Rollins doesn't want the position of pro tem, and so that swayed Ratliff into voting for him. And that's an outright lie right there, because I spoke with Rollins, and Rollins wanted it.
So those are what you were talking about. Because there was you made the comment, but there was no information given, facts given as to why the comment was made. So there are the facts.
Right.
There's the reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we cleared that one up. Now, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Matt, got a question here about all this?
I mean, nothing off the top of my head. I mean...
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've sat here for an hour and you can't think of anything?
Not one question.
Well, I mean,
I'm that good that I've asked them all.
Are you paying attention?
You know, I've heard that can happen before. Kind of zones out during the program from time to time. Here comes another call. Let's see what we've got here. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Loving my city. Jason? If you can wrangle those folks that have left the city who had never gotten a retirement party, hey, I'll buy the cake for them.
There you go.
Okay.
We'll have a nice retirement party.
An interesting thing is Gus Comstock in Can-Do has essentially been in neutral since, is it fair to say, March?
I would say Can-Do's demise started before that, but yes.
Yeah. Let's just say there's been 8 months since then, okay?
Yep.
There's been 8 months in activity. The mayor has a brilliant idea of making the position of economic development into the city. All of this time, Where is his business plan? He's pulling things out of thin air, or he's listening to people who probably are on the board of Can-Do, which those people should not be on the board of Can-Do. I told the mayor, and I told Lois Fisher, and I believe several others, those who voted for Comstock to stay should be dismissed. That should cut the board of Can-Do in half, and then redemption for those who voted for Comstock to leave. But it's rather obvious the mayor is in over his head, not knowing what he's trying to do, and all the damage control in the world, all of the spin, is not going to put this into a proper trajectory.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Now, I should mention this. We put this story up on social media last night. Now, some of the comments, and I'll just read first names here. Tracy says, vote him out. Ryan says, I know what fiscal caution is. Why is our mayor posting a textbook highlighted definition? Scott out there, Scott D., just a laughing face at the story. This is what the feeling is toward the mayor and the city of Marion right now with the news that we're talking about here this morning, that the finances are in bad shape and the city is headed toward not a good place. Your reaction to the reactions?
Social media is never a kind place.
It's not, but this mayor has seemed to do pretty well for his first 2 years. I haven't heard a whole lot of blowback against the mayor here.
Is social media the proper barometer to gauge how you're doing?
I don't think it's a barometer, but I think it's interesting from people who may have no skin in the game to see what they are thinking of what's going on. Go ahead, caller.
It's a thermometer, not a barometer.
Well, he might need a he brought his sickness in here this morning. I didn't know he was going to hype
it,
that over here.
What? Is it empathy or sympathy?
I'm all about the words. I was just going to point that out. What did you bring? I've been half asleep. Sorry, I was awake most of the night last night. What did you bring into the studio this morning, Jason Chopper?
I didn't bring anything but my ick to prove that I was sick on Tuesday.
I think that's what I have. I think that's what's going on with me, too. I just wanted Spears to read some of the comments that I made on social media.
I think it's appropriate to read your comments.
$64,000 in wraps and stickers and $10,000 on parties and $4,000 on flowers downtown. And
well, let me get your reaction to Twyla Lang's comment this morning.
Cough syrup in it through that way.
Yeah. So. Fourth Ward City Council person, Twyla Lang, head of the Finance Committee, chair of the Finance Committee. You realize you're talking about the administration that preceded us. Mayor Collins and his current council inherited this mess. We are trying to fix it.
Okay. She's also the one that would pick the auditor that put us in this mess back in that spot. She went on and did a live stream with them. So we're in fiscal distress, we'll put it that way, caused by an auditor that she just did a live stream with.
You know, Jason,
on Scherzer and everything else.
Well, Jason, that's an interesting point. I think that I did not watch. Did you watch that episode?
Happened.
It did happen. I'm aware it happened.
I did not watch.
Let's just say the perception of the current financial chair of the city council fiscal committee went on is it a talk show?
Are you talking about the
this
Zoom
is a
meetings?
Talk show.
Yeah, the Zoom show with former auditor Robert Landon, who you have said sent us down the road to where we are, that our financial chair would do an interview. And I really have not seen it, so I can't comment on what they said. But is that a good optic for the financial chair?
For the finance chair to go on with Robert Landon, I don't see a problem. It's the details of what was said.
Well, what was the highlight? Have you seen this thing?
I watched about 8 minutes of it before I couldn't stand any more of them patting each other on the back. But, you know, basically everything was a hit job against Landon. It's always been a conspiracy. Landon never did anything wrong. blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what former administration she would be talking about, because as far as I know, the mayor doesn't go in and actually pay the bills. So it would have been the former auditor that got us into this trouble, right?
So Twyla said that she believed that Mr. Landon was not culpable for any of this, and that it was the previous...
Oh, good God, they got... I like I said, I had to turn it off. It was getting so far into outer space that I was wondering if I'd left the Earth. I mean, Landon was talking about how he got the swipes from his door for him, his office, because he knows that people were coming in there and changing stuff while he was gone. I mean, it was insanity. I mean, it was like...
Well, Jason, your reaction to this.
So, I remember when Robert was in office, he did have that concern. He also accused the councilman of stealing his mail.
Mm-hmm.
So, that did happen. I mean, those accusations were made.
But were they true?
He never said that they were true. He just said that it got to the point that he was having to see who was swiping in and out of his office.
And
that's
I
how bad the conspiracy against him got so bad that the minute he would leave his office, it seems like somebody was running in there and changing all the work he did, running right back out before he could see him.
Yeah, and I remember that accusation back when he was making it. To me, it was noise. I don't think it went anywhere. I want to say there was an actual police investigation. I believe Randy Carrier investigated. I think he was the service director then, and he investigated. He's a former cop for years, and gave a report over is either the door swipes or the mail that Robert accused Josh Daniels of stealing. And the report said, I want to say it, whichever issue it was, didn't happen.
Nothing happened.
And then Robert stood up in a meeting and questioned Mr. Carrier's integrity, and he can make a report say whatever he wanted. And that really chirped off some people.
Okay, I guess my question on all of that is just simply this. In the business of fairness here, is it possible that if Twyla, on the Zoom meeting, believed what Robert Landon was saying, and she is still in public life, and she is the chair of the Finance Committee, is that good, that is what she believed?
No!
Well,
not,
Jason,
no.
What do you think?
It's my turn to talk, Naomi. Hush.
Sorry.
So
I forgot you were there.
Wow.
I'm on cough syrup.
So... I don't know how to speak for Twyla, but human tendency is if you're around somebody, you tend to agree with what they're saying, especially if you're not confident in your own facts and opinions. So maybe that's what she was doing at the time. I don't know.
Well, there we are. Any
other? Two thoughts. The budget director and Twyla as the finance chair, weren't they supposed to be the solutions to all that ailed us?
I don't know about Twyla as the finance chair, but the budget director, at least that's the sales pitch that I remember, that it would fix all the ailments, as you put it. And at one time, when we were discussing bringing in a finance director, the discussion was try to get it to be someone from the city. That way the budget director could transition over to the auditor smoothly and we would have a solid auditor. But we ended up getting someone from Shelby and they left, and now we got Chelsea, and I believe Chelsea lives in the city. Maybe that's the plan. I don't know.
I have a question about the... because it did get a lot of scrutiny, the $10,000 party in the park. Now, that money was allocated for the Strongest Town. Good morale booster, Strongest Town competition for a lot of people, made a lot of news in the paper, and I believe even Columbus News ran that particular story. Now, that all being said, looking back, hindsight that this just has happened within the last 6 months. Was that a good idea for council to take a unanimous vote to just give $10,000 to a party knowing the financial situation we're in?
Who are you throwing the question
you,
to?
You.
Me. So
I think you're the only one who voted against it.
Yes, and if you look at my voting record, I have not for at least 3 years voted for additional appropriations.
Were you surprised by that?
That I didn't vote for?
Well, no, surprised that everybody else did.
Feel-good stories are tough to go against. So, like the pothole. I'm sure I'm the absolute jerk for pointing out or even questioning what intentions the city had for filling that pothole. Feel-good stories, you lose every time.
They're interesting.
Hey. Okay, well, people seem to like my pothole story, but I have one question for Jason. What cuts do you see coming by the end of the year?
I said at the very beginning of the year, I think I was on Spears, and he's going to make me double down and call people liars, but and give examples. But I thought by the end of this year that we would face layoffs. Now
could that happen?
I'm still thinking that, and we are near the end of the year, so it may not happen. It may be the very beginning of the year. Another councilman, Ratliff, he thinks it's at the end of 26. I don't know how, especially after the request for review from the auditor of state. I don't know how layoffs are not in a corrective action.
Okay, so you see big cuts coming.
Not necessarily right now.
If
you're looking at the Parks Department, which has, I don't know, 10, 12 employees,
two is a big cut. When we're cutting jobs, to me, that we're starting about big
That's
cuts.
That's a big deal.
If we're doing more than just cutting excessive spending, then we're starting to talk about big cuts.
And I don't think the
big cuts coming. They will have to come.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Hope you feel better. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Listen, this is a national issue, but it is going to impact people in this city. 21,841 people, that's 33.5% of the county's population, Marion County's population, is on Medicaid. I would guess a good number of those people qualify for food stamps, and we now know that on Saturday, November the 1st, food stamp cards will not reload in Marion County or anywhere else across the United States, so announced yesterday by the national government. Big problem in Marion County coming up this weekend?
The numbers you just laid out, their statistics, is shocking to me. A third of our population, I don't know what to say about that. The people are going to be hurting.
62% of which are 18 and younger.
That's children.
Children. And
two-thirds?
13.8% are senior citizens, 65 and older.
That's sad.
And the answer we've heard from some people is, I guess, get a job.
that's just obnoxious to say. I mean, if you're under 18, how are you going to get a job? I understand that 16-year-olds can work. Can 15-year-olds still get carts at Kroger's?
Yeah, but like you can only work like so something.
It's
like,
really restricted.
Yeah, I mean they've got all kinds of rules.
So here we are. This coming, what impact is this going to have on the economy of Marion?
I would say it'd be very significant. I'm more worried about the individuals than our economy. I mean, people got to eat. People got to get to the doctors.
We've got about 12 minutes left here, 740-383-9944. How do you feel about I want to get back to this point. This is more important. Okay, in this letter, as a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances right now. Now, this is the letter from Mayor Collins last night, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. We don't know what the funds are.
No.
But
my guess would be it would be an enterprise fund. But with enterprise funds, that adds a new wrinkle or layer, if you will, because enterprise funds are supposed to be sustainable. And if they're not sustainable, then that's a really, it's almost like a catastrophic failure because they have to sustain themselves.
So, just spitballing here, in the last 2 years, how many new positions, money has been spent that was not necessary to spend? It was spent, but it wasn't necessary. You have the budget director, you have the grant writer, you have the party in the park for $10,000, you have possibly the economic development director coming, although that's up in the air at this point. You have the expansion of the transit system. All of those, the new stationery that came along, the bus wraps, the miking system, Facebook and all that at City Hall. How much money, nice, was spent, but that didn't need to be spent in the last 2 years when the city is in financial trouble?
I don't know what that number is because I've requested...
Oh, the split of the safety and the service director as well.
Split of the safety.
Weren't they together under Schertzer?
No.
They weren't?
They were together under Kellogg. And before Schertzer became mayor, like the December, November prior to that, he split them. Now, at one point we discussed when Schertzer wanted a budget director to recombine. And that failed because we did not give Schertzer a budget director.
And the Aquatic Center, which has always operated at a deficit, it's still in there.
Yeah, but so if you want to talk about the Aquatic Center, then a lot of blame and fault goes on the negotiations for the hospital lease.
So new money. Let's stick with the last 2 years. New money. All those positions, the party, the transit system, the bus wraps, the stickers, the signs, all that. What number are we at here?
I don't know. The projects you just laid out, I have requests in for all that information, and I have not received any of it. I don't know. I can give you guesses, but that's not fair. I believe that spitballing is the term you used, roughly guesstimated the Love Your City rebranding stuff, and I included city labor, put a value on city labor, and because these signs are everywhere, they're on our street signs, they're on our utility light switch boxes, and in our letterheads, and we had to get lawyers to... trademark lawyers, because Love Your City is a trademark.
It's not our trademark.
It is now, but it's a little bit ambiguous who owns that. So I've asked for that. I've tried to do the math in my head. I would not say that it's a stretch that we would be $150,000, $200,000 into that rebranding.
And the other positions that have been created. That's not counting those,
no,
right?
No, that's just the rebranding.
So are we, what neighborhood are we in with all of these positions and the rebranding and the $10,000 party and the transit system expansion?
A lot.
Okay. So the important, most important question in journalism is one word. Why?
The mayor came in with an ambitious agenda.
In a city that was financially in trouble, that had a no-confidence vote in the auditor, and had an auditor retire in the previous,
It should not be a surprise to anyone, because Love Your City was his campaign slogan.
And that's okay, but
So voters knew what we were getting. And
right.
They voted for that agenda, and I would say that... And again, we could argue about the rollout, but if the rollout of these initiatives that he wanted had more buy-in and didn't get as much kickback or secrecy around numbers and what it cost, we would be sitting in a totally different position than we are right now.
Okay, so other than total amnesia of the last 2 years, how can this letter be introduced last night by the mayor himself, the same man who has advocated for all these expansions in Marion City government.
And I'll restate my beliefs how this letter came about. Since we're coming to the end and releasing our 2021 audit, we've had Auditor of State in here for several meetings. They see our financial situation, and I truly believe it was either you own this, you get out in front of it, you invite us in, and if you don't, we're coming in anyways.
So you believe that Mayor Collins did not want to write
this? I don't think
this.
He had a... These are just my thoughts. He could have had this choice, and if he did, great for him. That took a lot of courage. But I don't really think he had a whole lot of say in this, because it restricts him. It will restrict him in pushing his agenda and his initiatives, what people voted him in the office for.
So next year, when the new council takes over, what's it going to look like? What are they going to be able to do?
So it solely depends on what level we're placed under and how it escalates. So if I don't know how quickly the auditor of state will respond, because I believe the letter is going out today. So let's play that out. We're at the end of October. So, and let's say we get a response back from the auditor of state in November. And then let's say they determine us to be in caution, which we are at that, we meet that threshold. So then we have 60 days for our corrective action plan. So that puts us in the February, if it all plays out that quick. Now, if it's caution, the new council will, business will be as usual. Now, if it's a step up at watch, then every financial decision is placed on, does it benefit the financial plan laid out, and how does it affect the city's finances?
And you believe that we, at the very least, will be at watch?
I think we are at that threshold. No question we're at the threshold of fiscal caution. Mm-hmm.
And again, if somebody says, how did we get here, you would say?
We have not reconciled the books for 5 years.
Is there any chance anybody could have come in and fixed this problem? Because outside firms have been...
$285,000 with Veritas, and their sole purpose was a forensic audit, and to prepare processes and policies for our auditor's office to reconcile and how to actually run the auditor's office.
So not just Miranda McGinnis, but firms that were hired to mm-hmm. come in here and fix this problem. Why was it so unfixable?
If you remember, Veritas sent a letter at the end basically firing us as a client. In the letter it said that they use bigger words than what I can use, basically saying that the staff in the office don't know the systems, will never understand the systems, and there needs to be a change there, is basically what it boiled down to.
You know, at last week's League of Women Voters candidates night, I believe there were some city council candidates who said, we have the money in the city for positions.
Okay. I mean, vote for them, I guess. If they know there's money, okay, come show us.
City council at large, who will you vote for?
I'm voting. So right now I know for sure I'm voting for Rollins. There's one other that I... So I'm only, if I vote for someone other than Rollins, I'm only going to vote for two, because I feel that strongly against the others. I think I'm leaning towards voting for Danny Clark and Rollins only, but I'm for sure voting for Rollins.
Okay. Why not the other two, Dichtel or Kreider?
So Dichtel kind of turned me off when we had the committee, when we were originally discussing the commercial building code enforcement and creating a department. for whatever reason, the meeting was going too long for him, and he just shut it down and said, we've discussed this enough, we're done. And that's not how government works. We're supposed to be there until every question's asked, every comment's made, whether it takes us 15 minutes or 3 hours.
And Kreider.
I served with Kreider in the past. He would be a capable guy, but I don't intend to vote for him. I don't want to water it down, because with the at-large races, it's the top three, and I want to make sure that at least Rollin gets through. And like I said, I'm probably most likely going to vote for Clark.
Quick questions here in our last 2 minutes. If you were going to vote for 6th Ward, Prater in his area, who would you vote for?
That has become a tough one. This is how I'll put it. I wouldn't vote for Prater. I would have vote for Azaria, but some social things, social stances that he's taken, some of that stuff doesn't apply to local politics, and I think he did himself some more harm than what he really should have.
Charter City, yes or no?
Charter City will not pass.
Well,
not,
why?
People's too confused.
Would you vote for it?
I'm not voting for it now.
Okay. Who should be on the Charter City Commission?
I should be on the commission.
Okay. Who should not?
That's
who should not? Who should not?
Who should? So, I don't know. I don't want to say who should not be on it. I believe that there's a group that effectively stacked the candidates to protect their own interest. And people can clearly see that if they do their investigations on candidates.
Okay. So those are the people who should not be on. You should be on it if it does happen. Anybody else who should definitely be on it?
I would like to see Naomi on it just because of who she is. Malcolm's a good dude. He would be great on that.
Terry Klein?
And in fact, Malcolm is the individual that tipped off the city to the IRS oopsie.
Oh. Well, Robert Landon, should he be on it?
Robert's a wonderful person. God bless his soul.
Should he be on the Charter Commission?
Robert is a wonderful person.
Is that a yes or a no?
Is it the fox in the hen house?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay. Now, final two questions here, and we're just going to do these on a grade scale because we've done this before. How bad, for people who live in the city right now listening to this, or will hear this in rebroadcasts, how bad is this for the city of Marion on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's bad. Having to ask for this and not knowing exactly what level will be placed under, a 7.
Okay.
It could get worse.
The city's financial situation right now, if you had to give it a letter grade, is what?
A D.
Okay, and just because we've done this before, and some people have given him an A, and you have not at points, the mayor's job so far, Bill Collins, about halfway through his term, is a what? How would you grade him?
I'm still at a C. Last night, having to present this letter, I would not want to be in that position, especially with the ambitious initiatives that he wants to put forth with the city and how he wants to see it grow. I give him a C+, because that had to be difficult for him to do.
Josh Daniels heavily praised the mayor a couple weeks ago for getting rid of the can-do position.
We don't have enough time to discuss that.
Well, what's just your general read on that?
We don't have enough time. That, man, I'm going to get myself in so much trouble. Yeah. Is it 10 o'clock yet?
No. What? Give us something on this. Give us something on this.
Nope.
What do you got?
More on Wednesday, I guess.
do we got anything on this?
I have a lot on this.
What's the statement? What happened there?
I am not going to do this.
What? Give us a one-sentence statement, something. Why did that happen? A lot of people were surprised.
I can't, because that is a bigger thing than the... Am I delaying enough to get the heartbreak?
You're going to have to come back on.
That's fine. I'll come on.
We'll discuss this whole thing. We'll create a whole hour for this thing.
That's all right. I think it should be talked about.
Okay. So we'll talk about it in the future, but you feel that is not on the up and up?
So I feel that the whole can-do thing and the demise of Gus. Gus didn't do himself any favor. There's some stuff there that, and like the auditor, went personal.
Okay. Involves Josh Daniels.
I'm not going to say that. You said that.
No, that's a question.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
A question.
Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, Matt Morgan. We're done for today. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
That cremationservicesofohio.com for John David Yeoman Sr. of Marion. Loretta Brown, age 86, of Marion, passed away on October 23rd.